You probably know Meshach Taylor for his role as Anthony in the TV series Designing Women. Anthony is the delivery man for a company of four women interior designers. In this episode, one of the women, Suzanne, wants to help her maid Consuela solve her immigration problems. Suzanne decides the only solution is to impersonate her maid at the immigration office.
Suzanne, excuse me for being nosy, but has it occurred to you that Consuela is Spanish and you don't even have an accent?
No. Hadn't occurred to me. That's a good point.
Well, Anthony, you speak Spanish, don't you?
Thank you, Charlene. Remind me to return this favor someday.
That's a great idea. That's perfect, Anthony. You could do this. And, you know, whoever goes down there today is the one who has to come back and take the test. It's perfect because you're good at taking tests and you speak Spanish.
No hablo español. Je parle français.
Oh, come on, Anthony. Please do this for me. All you got to do is wear this scarf and this coat and I'll pay you.
Oh, no way. You can just forget about that. Get it out of your mind.
$1,000.
Well, maybe I could just try it on.
Designing Women isn't Meshach Taylor's first TV series. He was also in the short-lived series Buffalo Bill, which starred Dabney Coleman as an egotistical talk show host and Taylor as his assistant director. Meshach Taylor is in Philadelphia filming the sequel to the movie Mannequin. He took some time off the set to come to our studio. I asked him how he got the part in Designing Women.
Well, I went through the ordinary audition process, I guess you could say. I was called in to read for it. I got there, and there was no script. Linda Bloodworth Thomason and her husband, Harry Thomason, were there, and the producer and a head writer of the show. And they asked me what I would do in a certain situation as a specific character, the character that they had in mind. And I did an improv, I guess. I was in good form that day. I went on for about 5 minutes. I had to be stopped. So they hired me on the spot.
Had to drag you off.
Yeah, they did. They said, well, this is great. We like what you're doing. We'll hire you on the spot. And they told me then that I would do like 5 episodes. They said, you know, you'll be a recurring character this season and you'll come back 5 times. Well, after I did the first show, I never left. I was there from then on.
Do you know if the character was written specifically for a black actor?
It wasn't. I was the only black guy that auditioned for it. As a matter of fact, I was called in because the lady who cast the show is a friend of mine and told them that she thought I could do the job. But it definitely was not cast, written for a black guy.
What reactions do you usually get when you go in for a role that doesn't specify black character?
Well, ordinarily, you don't get the opportunity to do that. That's one of the problems with Hollywood. It'll say policeman, and unless it says black policeman, a lot of times you won't even get the opportunity to read for it, you know, which is kind of crazy. But that's the way it is, and it's something that we deal with in Hollywood all the time and something that we're fighting all the time, but it's still something that exists.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you got criticisms from some civil rights groups for taking the role because mm-hmm. it was an ex-con, a delivery person.
Right.
What was your maybe you can elaborate on what the criticisms were, but what was your response?
You know, people were sensitive because the character was an ex-convict. Well, first of all, like I said, I was the only black guy that read for the part.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it would have been a white ex-convict if it hadn't been a black ex-convict. I certainly wanted the job.
Uh-huh.
And I saw nothing wrong with being an ex-convict. I mean, he's somebody who had been involved in a situation where he went to jail, and now he was out, and he was trying to do something with his life. I think that's positive as opposed to negative. So I didn't feel intimidated by that. I just felt like here's a man who's an ordinary guy who's going to do something special with his life. He's going to try to salvage what's left of it. So I thought that was good. As far as being a delivery man is concerned, I see nothing wrong with being a delivery man. I don't, you know, black or white or Hispanic or Chinese or whatever, you know. It's a job. It's not brain surgery. He's not the president of the United States, but he's working every day, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Was that the first time you had to defend taking a role?
No, it wasn't, because I did the role of Jim, this runaway slave in Huckleberry Finn. I did for at the Goodman Theater a few years ago, and was very, very surprised because the theater was picketed because of the use of the word nigger in the script. We had no illusions about the word being offensive. We knew the word was offensive. It was slavery was also very offensive. So we felt like to reflect that time, to be authentic, we had to use the word. And people were upset by that. But so, you know, that was a... But once again, I didn't agree with that. I felt that that it was correct to do it that way. I thought it was correct to show that in this period of time that Mark Twain was writing about, black people, African Americans, were dehumanized to the point that they were not even considered people. They were referred to, even by nice white folks, as niggers. And so I thought that was poignant. I thought that was something that young African Americans, as well as young white Americans and Hispanic Americans, should know about.
You got your start in theater.
Yes.
And you actually got your start in Chicago at the Organic Theater and the Goodman Theater.
Right.
And you're part of what I guess you guys refer to as the Chicago Connection.
Yeah, I think so.
A bunch of actors. There's you and Dennis Franz, Joe Mantegna.
Yeah. Lionel Smith, there's Gary Sinise, John Malkovich. There's a Glenn Headley, beautiful actress. There are a lot of us, and then there are the people from Second City as well, the people who worked in improvisational theater and improvisational comedy at Second City.
When you decided to settle in Chicago for a while, did you have any sense of what was happening in theater? Is that what kept you there? What got you there?
That's what got me there. I was doing a national touring company of Hair, and the last stop was a theater called the Mill Run Theater in Chicago.
I have to ask you, since the national touring production of Hair pretty well launched your acting career, do you actually like Hair?
Did I like the show?
Yeah.
Yes, it was great fun. I had a ball. Are you kidding me? It was really, because, you know, now it's old hat because, you know, there's so many other things that came afterward that were not structured tightly, like it wasn't structured tightly. There's a lot of freedom. I could, you know, the bits that I had in the show, I could change every night if I wanted to, and no one minded. And so that was fun.
What songs did you get?
I played HUD. Well, when I first started out, I started out singing the Aquarius solo. But about 2 months on the road, I went from a first tenor to a baritone because your voice can't take that kind of strain every night. You know, that's a lot of singing, and my voice dropped. But then, so then it turned out great because then I got a chance to play the male, the black lead in the show HUD. And I did that for a long time. So I got to sing Colored Spade and a bunch of, you know, A.B. Baby and a whole bunch of the kind of comedic tunes. And it was great.
Would you like to be singing more, and what would you like to be singing?
I'm starting to sing again now. I'm singing a lot on my show, on Designing Women now, and I like it, but singing is very difficult because you have to sound good. You don't want to ever sound bad, right? And sometimes you don't feel like singing like that, you know? You don't feel like investing that much in what you're doing as far as like... Oh, you can't talk that much after you work tonight because you have to sing tomorrow. So you have to rest your voice. And you become like a real prima donna about your voice. And I've been there, and I don't think I like that anymore. I like to holler every now and then and just have fun. And you have to really, you know, and I have a lot of friends who are singers, and they're, you know, they're walking around with towels around their necks and stuff. And I don't want to do it. If I can just jump up and sing something every now and then, that's good enough for me. But to actually pursue it the way that I was pursuing it for a while, it's just not something. I'm not into that anymore.
Your parents are both professors. Did you grow up on a college campus?
I grew up on Dillard University's campus in New Orleans, Louisiana, up until the time I went to high school. Then my parents moved to Indiana to... Well, you know, this was still during the Jim Crow era, so opportunities were very limited in New Orleans and at that time. And my father and mother wanted not only better opportunities for themselves because they're very well educated and felt that they should be able to get better things for themselves, but also for my brothers and sisters and myself. They wanted us to have better opportunities. But what happened was moving there... was not really the boon that we thought it was going to be because it lacked sophistication, the town did. And so what we gained on one level, we lost a lot on another. When we were in New Orleans, even though it was a Jim Crow town, African traditions, musical, musically, the whole Creole thing. In New Orleans, people, you had Creedence as people. But in Indianapolis, no.
You know, you come from this really educated family. So many of the roles for black actors in movies and TV are for streetwise, uneducated characters. Yeah. Did you have to learn that kind of language in order
to get parts? Learn that kind of language to survive. Because, like I said, I was raised on college campuses at the time I went to high school. Then I wasn't there anymore.
Right.
So when you come in talking like, they used to call me the professor, that, you know, you're talking like that, you're going to have some problems. It's a peer group thing. You know, you're going to have to learn how to... So now I'm bilingual, you know.
Right.
I learned that lesson very well. And so I didn't have to learn it for Hollywood. I had to learn it for life and for survival. And I think I learned it pretty well because, I can move in and out of those types of situations with a lot of facility, I think. You know, so... It's been very interesting to have that duality in my life.
Well, great. I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed it.
Actor Meshach Taylor, you can see him Monday nights in the series Designing Women.